Welcome to Reengage. My name is Jeff, and I'm super excited to be here tonight. I know everyone comes in this room in a different place. Some of y'all, everyone's been married a different length of time, and I'm so glad you're here to invest or to recover or to grow your marriage. So thank you for having the courage to come in here and to take that step. You may be in a place tonight where you know who your cornerstone is, and you know Jesus, and you may be in a place where you are struck. If you don't know Jesus, I pray that you would see him through these songs that we sing, and that you would stand and sing with us. That's our prayer. We come here admitting that we don't know what to do, God. We're like the Israelites. We forget and we get lost and we wander around. And God, you anchor us. And we ask that you give us your wisdom. We don't have it in ourselves. We only have it through you. And God, I pray that you would help us know what to do. And that we would see things like you do, God. And we thank you that you love us. Thank you for providing for us, and thank you for who you are. In your son's name, amen.
Amen. Jeff, thank you guys so much for leading us in that time. Guys, I love, wherever I'm, whether it's on a Saturday or Sunday morning, it's here on Wednesday night. Like, I love being reminded of the truth of God through song, because just through song, it is way able to communicate those truths in a way that just that pull on my heart and my emotions. And so for those of y'all that showed up 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago, like, you chose wisely, because it is difficult to jump into an open group or a closed group or even begin to listen to what someone's about to say. If you just come right in from 6:35 and 75 with all the frustrations in the world on your back. And at the same time, for those of y'all that just walked in the doors, like, you chose wisely, because you're going to get an opportunity to hear from a dear brother, friend. I would go into any foxhole with this guy. I look up to him and am so thankful that he's sharing some of his time with us tonight. And so John Elmore is over our recovery ministry called Regeneration. He is married to his beautiful bride, Laura, and they've got three kiddos now, and so he's away from his family to come and encourage y'all, and so listen up, grab a pen if you have it, or your iPhone. John Elmore, come on, give it up.
Thank you, Ron. Hey, y'all, so there's going to be a number on the screen. Can you guys, is this going? There will be a number on the screen, and I want you to guess what that number is, what that number represents in my life. There it is. Any guesses? What's that? Eight questions why you love me. Maybe the number of years I've been married. No, that's seven. It's not number of kids. We just had our third. Some of you know that I'm a recovering alcoholic. It's not years sober. That's 12. Thank you, Lord. That is the number of times that I ask for forgiveness at a couple of baptism weekends ago. So we have this big event. It's called Baptism Sunday. Everybody comes on campus. There's all these kids. Bounce house is a big party. And 8 times I asked for people's forgiveness in one day. Like, I showed up and I told my people to go to the wrong place in order to give their testimonies and get baptized. So I had asked their forgiveness, 4 people. Then to the staff person who assigned that to me, I was like, dude, I totally forgot. I didn't tell anybody. I had to, like, go find them. One person didn't even show up. Missed something with my wife, asked for her forgiveness. I think was short with my kids, asked for their forgiveness. At the end of the day, I was like, I am a train wreck. Like, what is wrong with me? And you might be thinking right now, like, what is wrong with the Reengage staff that they asked that guy to come teach us tonight? The guy who whiffs that many times in one day. And the reason why is because I'm going to be teaching tonight on asking for forgiveness. And I'm not here to teach you about asking for forgiveness because I'm a pro. I'm not here to teach you about it because I like it. I actually hate it. It's one of the most painful things in life is to ask for forgiveness. I'm here tonight because I've got a lot of practice in it. Because I, like I said, I'm a recovering alcoholic. So I had about 12 years of being a drunk, which gives me a lot of opportunity to make amends for those mistakes. And then ongoing, like, still just, like, inevitably hurt people. And in particular, my spouse, Laura, the one that I'm in covenant to. Like, I have this, like, great propensity to hurt my wife. And so I get a lot of practice to ask for forgiveness. And so that's why I'm here. And what we're going to talk about tonight is this question. It's how to ask for forgiveness. And I'll tell you up front, I'm going to give it away. If there's not a question mark whenever you say, "Will you please forgive me?" If there's not a question mark, if it's not put in the form of a question, you are not asking for forgiveness. And so that's what we're going to unpack tonight, is the ability and the opportunity to ask for forgiveness, to ask for forgiveness. And what I will tell you up front, out of experience, is that this principle alone, which by the way is not a re-engage tip and trick, this is written into God's word. He gave this to us as a gift for our relationships, specifically your core relationship of marriage, your covenant relationship. But this principle, this one act, that one sentence will transform your marriage. It'll transform every relationship, like I said, with my children, with my coworkers, with my friends. But in particular, this right here, that phrase, if you hear nothing else, that phrase will transform your marriage. And the other thing that I want to say is that y'all are in such a good place just being here tonight. There should be 2,000 couples in here every single Wednesday, 2,000. And so y'all are in such a good place. Our senior pastor would benefit from being here with his wife, all the way down to the very most recent person who walked in the doors at this church. From the very first initiator of this church to the most recent one, everyone would benefit from this. This is an incredible program based on God's word. So praise God that you're here and you are already in a really healthy trajectory, no matter where your marriage is, just by your presence here. So well done. This is covered, forgiveness, both how to extend it, that's lesson 5, and how to ask for it in lesson 6. So if you're not there yet, we're going to unpack some of the cliff notes. If you are there, this is going to give you a little bit of explanation. And then if you're already beyond that, you're going to get a refresher. So this is beneficial to every single person, no matter where you are on this journey. This will apply to you. And here's what we're going to do by way of the message tonight. We're going to walk through how to ask for forgiveness by way of squirrels, foxes, and rats. And what they have in common is they all should be killed. They devour things. That's their sole role on this earth. God has created them as devouring agents. They're like menaces. Cute as they may be, in some people's opinions, they all devour. So the problem, squirrels and sinners. We have this huge oak tree in our backyard, which drops this like biblical proportion amount of acorns every year. It's like, it's insane. And so what does that do? It brings every squirrel within Dallas and I think Collin County into our backyard. We have this squirrel bonanza. I need a pellet gun and like to quit my full-time job just to eliminate the squirrels. And what I think a squirrel is, if we're all honest, you know, people put up the little squirrel. It's like a chair with a corn cob so they can sit there and munch on their food. And I'm like, y'all, they're rats with fluffy tails. All they have is a fluffy tail. We scream, we call Terminex when we have rats, and then we feed squirrels. It's like, it's the world's greatest deception just because they have a fluffy tail. Don't be deceived. And please don't feed squirrels. But, so all these acorns are there. It's this monster tree in our backyard. It's one tree, but it's huge. And I'm sitting there looking at it as I'm swinging the kids one day. The wind's blowing. And I'm like, dude, that limb could like kill me in my sleep. There's like this limb that is defying gravity. It's like horizontal with all this weight bearing on it. And the only place it connects is way down here at the trunk. I'm like, that ain't good. Like we moved into the house. I'm like, that's trouble. So I call a tree guy. I don't know who I pinged, community maybe. And I'm like, hey, anybody know a tree guy? And this dude shows up and he, he doesn't even come to the front door. He's like, I'll come right to the problem, sir. I'll meet you in the backyard. And he's all business, like all business. I thought it was going to be a dude with a chainsaw. And instead, it's like business cards, super formal. And he's like, sizing it up. And I was like, well, I can tell that you've already done some damage. I'm like, who the heck are you? Like, what? Because I got my little chainsaw from Amazon. I've already been cutting down limbs. He's like, yeah, those are uneven cuts. They're going to splinter. It's going to make things worse. You've already done a lot of damage. It's not recoverable. I mean, it is. I think I'm going to be able to work with it and this and that. I'm like, what? Who is this guy? And I said, you've been doing this long? I'm just like making conversations. He's like, oh, yeah, I studied it in school. I'm like, you studied trees in school? He's like, yeah. Exactly. Horticulture, forestry, plant pathology. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, you paid to, like, chainsaw on a ladder? Like, are you serious? I was like, really? So where did you go to school? He's like, A&M. Yeah, see, nobody whooped on that one. I know there's some Aggies in the room, and you're like, they are no joke. At A&M, there is a degree called Wildland Urban Interface Specialist. Now, I went to Baylor, and I was a drunk, but I know how to spell. That's an acronym for wuss. I'm like, only an Aggie. Wildland Urban Interface Specialist. Tree cutter, come on. So anyway, I'm already like, forget. I'm like, so what would it cost for this tree? And he's like, well, probably about $400. Let's look to the front. I'm like, oh, like you already priced yourself out, man. I'm going to like take the thing off the door for $90. So we go. I was like, fine, I'll humor him. We walk to the front. As we're going through the front, we walk through the side yard. And he changes from like expert guy. He goes, whoa, what are you going to do about that? And I'm like, now I know it's a scam. Because he's pointing at a bush. And I'm like, just kind of keep it trimmed and water it. Like, what's your, tell me, wuss, like, what's your idea? And he's like, you water it? That's going to ruin your foundation. And all of a sudden, I'm listening. I'm like, do tell. And he's like, well, that's an oak tree for one. And I'm like, oak tree? What are you talking? Because it looked like a bush, and actually it was pushing up into our roof, but it didn't look like a tree. It looked like a bush. I've literally been watering it. And he's like, that's going to ruin your foundation. I was like, yeah. And he's like, well, and then once the root system gets into your foundation, then what's it going to do? It's going to jack up that side of the house. You're probably eventually going to see some splintering in your drywall. Then the ceiling will crack, and then the joints are going to separate in the corners. I'm like, oh man, all that's already happened. I'm like, oh great. I was like, well, how did a tree get there? Who would plant an oak tree there? He's a squirrel. I'm like, son of a. They're rats with fluffy tails. And y'all, so are we. We are rats. We are squirrels with fluffy tails. Some of y'all, your spouse thought you looked cute because you had a fluffy tail. You're rats, all of us. And we bury nuts, acorns in each other's lives, and they grow up and they wreck our houses. We take our little acorn problems. We're like, it's not that big of a deal, just little acorn. Like I talked short with you, or maybe I nagged you a little too much on the weekend. Or sure, I struggle with lust a little bit, or I might have done a double take. Or yeah, I might have spent a little bit more than I should have, but it's just a little acorn. And we plant that thing in our house, in our spouse. And that thing, if it's not dealt with, it grows up and will jack up the foundation of your marriage. Will splinter walls, will crack things, and it'll create problems that you can't even trace back to that little acorn. I didn't know why we had cracks in our drywall and why the ceiling in the kitchen was split. It's because of a stinking squirrel that buried a nut. And we do it all the time. We do it all the time. And so here's like newsflash. You married a sinner. They look nice when they came down the aisle. They're a sinner. We're all born sinners. My cute little kids, they're sinners. They're natural born sinners, every single one of us. And there's no cure for it apart from Christ. Like, you can't work your way out of it. You can't, you know, re-engage isn't even going to make you better for it. God alone has power over sin. And I'm a motivational speaker for the night. You can't change. You can't change. No one in this room can change. And right now, some spouse is like, God, I knew it. I knew they couldn't change. That's the problem. Well, you can't either. No one can change. God changes you. So if you're frustrated about why your spouse can't change, why you can't change, it's because God alone can change you. But that's what you're going to hear here at Reengage. It's like, man, this isn't about trying harder. It's about going to the one who can change you. Here's the other thing. Pride is blinding. So like, I've been walking by that bush that was actually an oak tree for years. I'd been watering it. I didn't think anything of it. That guy knew that it was an oak tree. I needed an expert. I need somebody outside of me. And that's what your spouse does. Like, they're not your enemy. When they say that you've hurt them, which all of us should be doing that in a gentle, loving way, there's a free tip. As we engage each other with some way that we've been offended or hurt, that's a helpful thing. That's like telling somebody that your zipper's down or you got spinach in your teeth. Nobody's like, hey, you know what? Well, you got something in your teeth too. It's like, dude, I was just telling you because you have something in your teeth. Like, or I didn't think you wanted to walk down around with your zipper undone. Like, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm trying to help you. It's the same thing as we point out things. And so pride is blinding. We need somebody else there. And marriage is a mirror. Like, you've got somebody that actually loves you, that is in covenant with you. It's beneficial that they would help you with whatever those, you know, communication or sin struggle, whatever it is. So that's a good thing. And bearing it is not an option. There's this phrase that's like terrible. Time heals all wounds. Man, that's a joke. That's stupid. Like, ask anybody that has ever had any kind of infection. Like, time does not heal all wounds. You have to get the infection out. Time doesn't heal anything. Time makes it poisonous or cancerous or, you know, it's bad. Time is not in your side when you have sinned against someone, when you've buried an acorn of sin against your spouse. Time is not on your side. In fact, what the Bible says in Proverbs 6, it says, don't even allow sleep to your eyelids. Don't allow slumber, but go and plead your case with your neighbor. Your closest neighbor is your spouse. Don't even go to bed. Jesus said, before you worship next, leave your gift at the altar. He's like, we're good. Don't come chasing me. Go after them. Go after your spouse that you have offended. So time doesn't heal those wounds, and neither does overlooking a if you're still thinking about it. If you're like, well, I'm just going to keep the peace and I'll just pray. But if you continue to think about it, that's going to allow some bitterness. Let's talk about that. On the next slide, solution is forgiveness. The problem is that we're all sinners and we're going to create offense with one another. Well, the solution is forgiveness. And the reason why I got the foxes on there, like, we don't fox hunt in this country, but in England they do. And there's all these people that are in an outrage, you know, still because of fox hunts, because it's cruel to the fox. And so I like looked it up. I'm like, what's the deal? You know, because now they can't even use dogs with fox hunts. And I used to hunt, and so I'm interested in these things. And I look it up. Well, they hunt foxes because they tear apart villages and gardens and get in your trash and carry fleas and disease, and like they're bad. It's a bad deal. A fox hunt is a really good thing. So the next time you come call an exterminator or whatever, like, you're in on it. You're a part of the problem. If there's any PETA lovers in the room, foxes are trouble too. And the Bible talks about it as well. In Song of Solomon, this book about covenantal love, it says in verse 215, catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom. And it's talking about love that is flourishing, but because walls have been broken down, foxes are getting in and they're devouring that love. And so you think about what the foxes might be in your marriage, and that might be a porn problem or infidelity or an emotional affair or nagging and disrespect or not staying within the budget and going beyond that because of just like flagrant spending or some kind of sin struggle or whatever it may be. Like, those are foxes. And before you nudge your partner and spouse, the other foxes that get in the vineyard that will devour your love equally, just as bad as whatever sin struggle you just had in your mind where you're like, yeah, my spouse has got those foxes. Your fox is bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness and building up walls and creating a sexless marriage where you keep your spouse at bay or you're emotionally cold and dead to them. Man, that's a fox of equal egregiousness that will devour your marriage. And they're like, they become team members. Then it's like team fox killing your marriage, with one being sin and the other being a hardened heart, and they will devour your marriage. I mean, I've experienced it. We all have. Nobody is immune to those foxes. And so when I say build walls, because you think, like, man, shouldn't I be tearing walls down between me and my spouse? You're building walls against the foxes. And the way to build a wall is to forgive each other, to forgive one another. In Scripture, it's not presented to us as an optional or like a, hey, it would be good if. It's a command. Forgive as you have been forgiven, which is Ephesians 4:32 through 5:1. Be imitators of God, just as he forgave you in Christ Jesus. Forgive one another. It's all throughout Scripture. And here's the deal. If It's hard, man. It's hard. It's one of the hardest things to do is ask for forgiveness. It's brutal. I've done it twice in the last 3 days with my wife. I did it once with my 4-year-old son in the last 3 days. It's so hard. It's such a shot to the pride, especially when you feel like, but that's just my part. What about your part? And Jesus has words for that too. He's like, take the log out of your own eye first, you know? Allow that first. So that's the application. Next is where we're going to get to. The problem is we're all sinners. The solution is to ask for forgiveness. Well, how do I do that? Because none of us, we probably weren't raised in families that were great at it. There's probably a really small minority of people that have ever even known how. And here's where the rat comes in, because we're all, like I said, rats. We're not cute little fluffy squirrels. We're rats. But God can change you from being a rat. So don't dismay. Don't fear. Here's what it is. You ask for forgiveness. That's it, simply put. A lot of what we do is we'll say this. Well, hey, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. And in our house, when someone says that, it's kind of a cue of, that's not quite it. Like if I say to Laura, I'm really sorry, her response is, I'm sorry too. I'm sorry too. That really hurt me. I feel sorry as well. And it's like, oh yeah, didn't quite hit the mark. I have hurt you. And so, I recognize the wrong. I recognize the wrong. Hey, when I was 2 hours late and didn't tell you I was going to be because I got stuck in a meeting and you were juggling the kids, especially our newborn, with the other two and wait for whatever it is, I recognize the wrong. I realize I hurt you in that. It was wrong of me not to call. I should always be in touch. And then A, you ask for forgiveness. This is where I said earlier, it's not I'm sorry. If there's not a question mark on the end of it, you have not asked for forgiveness. And you say, will you please forgive me? Question mark, pause. Because a lot of times we might say, please forgive me. You know, I know I messed up, okay? I did it again. I'm sorry, you know? I'm not God. Please forgive me. It's like, okay. One, you sinned against me. Two, you just commanded me to forgive you, but you put please on it to try to dress it up. So, no, try again, please. So it's not please forgive me, or it's not I need to ask your forgiveness for something, blah, 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 blah. It's will you please forgive me? Question mark, pause. Don't keep talking. What I tend to do is, will you please forgive me? You know, I know I blew it, because when you said that thing earlier, like that really upset me and therefore I did that. Well, now I've just justified my sin and that undoes everything too. And then I'm just being more of a rat. And so recognize the wrong, ask for forgiveness, just question mark and listen. Let them release that debt. Let them say, yeah, yes, honey, I forgive you. I forgive you. And here's the thing, probably 99%, that's generous. Probably 85% of the time in our household, children excluded, between me and Laura, when one of us says, will you please forgive me? The other one reciprocates. Because it takes two to tango, and nobody's batting 1,000. And usually when there's sin, somebody else has got something in that. And so it's this last one is like, hey, you know what? I was short with you. My words were short. I was frustrated unreasonably. Will you please forgive me for that? She's like, yes, thank you. Thank you so much. And I feel so but I want to justify it. I want to tell you what you did wrong. And she's like, and you know what? I was disrespectful in the way that I spoke to you in front of the kids. Will you please forgive me? And it's like, boom, embrace. We're good. Settled accounts. It just helps so much. So make it reciprocal. It's up to you to make it reciprocal. There's not just one of us who is in sin, typically, in the relationship. And then T, take steps to change. Like, finish this sentence for me. I know you're sorry, but I just wish you would change. I know you're sorry, but I just wish you'd change. Because when we hurt each other again and again and again, it's like, God, just change. Like, yes, I forgive you. Please change. And like I said earlier, we can't change ourselves. God can. And so you, as the one who's just asked for forgiveness, call upon God and be like, God, I blew it again. Will you please change me? I don't want to look at porn again. I don't want to talk disrespectful to my husband again. Will you please change me? And here's the thing. He will. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to die for you and rose from the dead to show that he is the giver of eternal life, that he's God in flesh and forgives sinners. And he also did that to show that you, who is a slave to sin, can die and be raised again to have a new life. I'm not a drunk like I used to be. I have a new life. And so whoever you are, whatever kind of rat you are, whatever flavor of rat you are, it doesn't mean you will always be who you are. That in Christ, he can change you. It says the Holy Spirit sanctifies you, makes you into the image of Christ. You remember that oak tree, the bush that was an oak tree? I went out and I cut it down. I mean, it was like 4-inch wide diameter trunk growing up beside my house. I cut it down. Well, the thing grew up again. Like it, I don't know, the most resilient bush oak tree in the world. Should have called the Aggie to actually get him out. But it's grown again. And I realized, like, you got to hit the root. You can't just like brush over. You got to hit the root of whatever the problem is. And what I've also found now, because now I know that oak trees screw up your house, I pull them out when they're little saplings. Every spring, they're like little bitty saplings coming up from the acorns that they don't eat. And so what you do is you ask for forgiveness early and often. Like not a week probably should go by where you haven't asked for forgiveness because something's happened. And so the next number that I want to put on the screen is a number for you. If your number is 0, from this past week, 0 times that you have asked for forgiveness. Because the only thing worse than the number 8 for asking for forgiveness 8 times is your number 0. And you're like, man, I haven't asked for my wife's, spouse, husband's forgiveness any, ever maybe, but particularly in the last week. Do it tonight. Do it today. Do it this week. I'd say this evening. Because if you're just coming in here and catching talks, sitting in a room on a Wednesday night isn't going to do anything for you. But if you start taking this, not because I said it, because God said it, it will lead to life and peace and your marriage will be transformed. Let me pray. Father, thank you for every single couple here. I pray that you would revive them, refresh them, minister to them. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, transform them. That every single person, though we are sinners, because of Jesus can be made new. No longer slaves to sin. So Lord, do great work. Bless them. Give them grace as they extend it to each other and forgive one another as you have forgiven us. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you all so much.
John, I got a confession. I feed squirrels. I'm old. When your kids grow up and move out, you realize that God's rats are really pretty good entertainment, and they can do flips, and gosh, I'm going to have to go really think about that one, John. Yeah, they will mess up my house. Man, when you think about forgiveness, as he was talking, I thought, man, why do we forgive? And I just thought of 3 things as we leave tonight. The first one, John nailed it. Man, God commands it. The second one, it's a gift that we give to ourselves. And the third one is, man, it is the change agent. It's the game changer. I know in my marriage, you know, what do you do when 2 people have been unfaithful to one another? How do you even begin to move toward healing? And it happened when Roll and I both had to understand all that God had forgiven us, that we were commanded to forgive one another. And so, man, let tonight, before you go to bed, make and grab the opportunity, humble yourself and go first. Thanks for being here tonight. If you are here for the very first time, we're going to ask newcomers in just a moment to all come up to my right, your left, be seated in these first 3 rows and give us a chance to welcome you and to show you a quick little welcome video, help answer any questions that you may have should you choose to make re-engage your journey to moving toward oneness in your marriage. If you've already been to newcomers, we're going to ask that you go to one of our open groups. Those can be found in room 210, 211, and 212. You go out these doors, take a right, go across the skywalk, you'll see the re-engage signage, and you can choose any of those 3 open groups. If Spanish is your native language, we'd love to invite you to come visit us in room 207. Thank you to those of you that are coming so faithfully each week to open group. We are starting closed groups soon, so please continue to be patient with us and faithful in attendance. Let's go make tonight a great night of pursuing oneness.